Yeah, there we go. All right, now I have to hit this button. I am really sorry, folks. I kind of lost control of myself here. You're listening, by the way, to on the Air, and we were on the air, but we were not knowing what we were doing. So I have with us, I have James Anderson, our Marion... What is your term?
Park naturalist.
Oh, it's a park naturalist. Yeah. I've just been calling you, the naturalist.
Well, you didn't say naturalist. It's either or, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, during the break, and while apparently I was doing the wrong thing, we talked about some, poisonous animals and poisonous plants, and I looked up, and there are like 17 or 18 different things that we're warned against, and James had... interesting points on most of the things. I'm going to go through this list of, because we're nothing if we're not educational here, deadly animals and plants that are in Ohio. Now, one of them, I think we've talked about it, timber rattler.
Timber rattler, copperhead, and Mosaga. Yep, those are our three venomous snakes in the state.
But they're not all in this area, right?
Not all, but the Mosaga has been spotted in northern Marion County in the past.
So stay away from them. And they're not that big, are they?
No. If you think about a garter snake, about the size of it, that's about as big as a Mosaga.
What do you look for? What does a Mosaga look like different than a garter snake?
So it's actually funny. It can come in a lot of different colorations, but it's typically like a very dark mustard yellow to black or brown splotches.
Okay.
And then also, too, they'll have the rattle at the end.
Oh, they have a rattle?
They do. They do have a rattle. And then your with the vipers, they'll have the two nostrils. They'll have, like, a normal one, and then they'll have, like, a what's called a pit, and it's used to help detect heat.
Okay.
Other than that, again, it's a very, very dark snake. And, of course, the timber rattler, they're a lot larger. They can get about 4 or 5 feet long. They also have a rattle, but the copperhead does not have a rattle.
Yeah,
and,
I saw that.
I'm not sure.
Actually, they're a handsome snake.
They are. They are very beautiful. And for the copperhead, they have the hourglass splotches on their backs.
I see that.
And I always tease people. I said, well, the reason why it's an hourglass, because if they bit you, then you have so long to live. Now,
are most of them deadly poisonous?
They can be. I've had a friend, he used some milk snakes, like he extracted their venom down in Kentucky. He got bit by a cottonmouth. He didn't die, but he said if he felt like he was dying.
He'd rather die.
I would say for the most part, I mean, it's going to send you to the hospital and then, definitely get medical treatment.
Okay. Now, another deadly animal that roams our woods, but I'm not afraid of them. I wouldn't want to walk up to one, but our black bear.
They don't. You don't even have to be afraid of them.
No, they're kind of shy. And if a mama bear has her baby bear with you, you should stay away from them anyway.
Yes, I know it bothers me so much when down like in Great Smoky Mountains, when all these tourist people, they get out of their cars and they'll run straight to the mom with her cubs. When we went a couple years ago, it bothered me so much, and I kept yelling, and I'd say, no, don't go to them. And then my wife's like, okay, we're going to move to another spot.
Yeah, so we don't watch a human be dismembered.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my. Well, now, I just I found a Mosaga. They're not nearly as handsome as
the timber rattle.
Or the copperhead.
Yeah.
All right, now, this one I didn't know could be deadly. Black widow?
Oh, yeah. Black widows, brown recluses, they are highly venomous. And actually, it's all spiders are venomous. It just depends on your immunity.
Okay.
But definitely black widow and brown recluse, those are...
Now, they are actually deadly?
Yes,
they can be. Yikes.
So definitely get medical treatment
now,
if you think you've been bitten by one of this.
Now,
spiders.
A black widow is ugly. It's an ugly, nasty-looking, like it'll kill you spider.
With a female, I think she's very attractive. She's got that beautiful, also hourglass on the bottom of her her abdomen. But it's funny, if you see her boyfriend or her mates, he's half the size.
Yeah, he's little.
Right? He is very, very little. And that's typically, for most spiders, males are typically smaller than females.
Now, does a a male bite as well as a female?
Yeah. I think they say that the males are not as potent as females, but they still could harm you.
Well, now, and also a brown recluse
yeah.
is not really, it doesn't look like it's dangerous. It's kind of small, and
yeah.
but you don't want, my wife was bitten by one and had, well, at least that we thought it was what,
yeah.
the doctor thought that was what it was, and she was kind of sick from it,
yeah.
And got a really bad welt where it bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so, anyway, so stay away from those two. Yes. Now, we found those in window wells around our house.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of times they'll hang around basements.
Ah, okay, well, I'm going to stay out of my basement now. Now, coyotes, I've never thought of them as a deadly animal, but they could
attack people. There are
only
cases.
In California, though.
Yes, I was telling Glenn with the coyote reports in the United States, most of them have been out in California.
Well, they get mad out in California because there are all those libs out there like me.
Yes. So I was teasing Glenn. I said apparently coyotes must like the taste of Californians.
Yeah.
But there have been some reports in Ohio, but it's very, very rare. You're more likely to be bitten by a domestic dog than a coyote.
Surfers taste differently
yes.
than those of us who are lazy on the couch.
No.
All right. Now, let's see. We're going to go. Are we going to have a lot of... Now, this is not a poisonous animal, but are we going to have a lot of stink bugs this year?
You know, that is a good question.
We had a ton of them 2 years ago.
It does. It fluctuates. I don't know. It just must be the right environmental conditions, which cause them to have huge explosions and not as bad.
Well, you don't want a stink bug exploding.
Yes.
That's for certain. Anyway, okay, the kissing bug.
Yeah.
What the heck is a kissing
so
bug?
So they say that the folklore is they'll bite around your lips.
Oh.
And it'll cause your lips to swell and looks like you're kissing.
Oh, well, we could just send those out to those California moms that want those large lips.
Yeah, but they're not native to Ohio.
Okay, they aren't. It says it is, but
oh,
it
well,
lied.
Yeah.
Maybe southern.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Now, mosquitoes, don't think of them as a deadly animal, but if they give you malaria,
Malaria, West Nile. Remember, Zika was very big, a few years ago.
Now, have we had any reoccurrence of the Nile?
The West Nile?
West Nile?
I haven't heard it, very big. You always hear, maybe very little, but I was telling you earlier when we were on air in the mid-2000s when it was really big,
big
outbreak.
Yeah.
Owls are very susceptible to West Nile disease. The screech owl and the barred owl, for some odd reason, their population got hit hard.
Now, if they got hit hard, would critters that prey on them, would they get sick from it as well? If they preyed on an animal?
Most likely no.
Okay.
But there could be a chance of it carrying it on to the next predator.
Yeah. Okay. Now the next animal that jumps up on my thing of deadly animals is black-legged ticks.
Oh yeah, ticks.
Now,
ticks and...
there are all sorts of ticks.
Yes. There's dog. What's it? Dog star. There's bird ticks. There's several different species.
Do you have any secret ways to get ticks out of your dog?
Out of your dog.
I was a kid, my father used to heat up the tip of a nail and touch it on the back, and it would back out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you threw it away or killed it or whatever you did with it. But
What I've heard is, with people at least, if you put peppermint, lavender, anything like that, because what you don't want to do, and I just watched this actually just recently, when you're extracting a tick off of your body, you always hear, get the head off, because what you don't want to do, you don't want to crush its head, because if it regurgitates everything back into your body, it could be hosting bacteria or other diseases that it's introduced into your body now.
Now, see, I'm sure this is an old wives' tale. I was told you must get the head, because if you pull the body off, the head will keep sucking and the blood will come out.
Well, some of the nerves, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like the old concept of a chicken with its head cut off.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it won't live for very long.
Okay. All right, let's go to mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
And we've talked about this before. There are mushrooms that you've got to avoid.
Yes.
You better know what you're doing if you're out there
taking mushrooms. Absolutely. And as I was mentioning to Glenn, that it's so funny, there's all these edible mushrooms, but then they have a counterpart that they look alike, but they're poisonous.
Yeah, and what did you say is the more common mushroom that people are picking now?
Morels. That's the big spring one. And then right now, centrales are pretty popular.
What's that look like?
It's orange, and it almost kind of looks like a small umbrella.
Okay. Now, I've had a couple that were orange, almost mahogany orange.
Yeah.
Would that be what that was?
No.
Okay.
I think...
I didn't eat it.
Oh, that's good. And then there's the chicken of the woods, what you found last year.
Oh, yeah. And they're starting again on that same tree.
Oh, yeah.
Not nearly as full as they were, but I think... they're not as full because I think the squirrels have found them.
Oh, yeah.
And are just eating the daylights out of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. One of my favorites is a bobcat.
Oh, yeah.
There are still bobcats in Ohio?
Oh, yeah, yeah, there are
bobcats. I mean, I know I'm a bobcat, and I know there are a lot of bobcats in Athens.
Southeastern Ohio, that's where you'll find most of them. They are expanding eastward. There have been some spots in Morrow County and haven't been yet documented in Marion, but I would say they would be in Marion County.
They have a very interesting call.
They do. Like a lady screaming sound.
Yes, it sounds just like a lady screaming.
Yeah. Yes, if you hear a lady screaming sound at night, I say it could be a few things. I say it could be a bobcat, a barred owl, or an actual woman screaming.
Or a bar fight.
Yeah, a bar fight.
I'm sorry. Probably not. Okay, now... I didn't know this, and I asked you about this off the air. How about wild boar? There are wild boar.
Yeah, there are wild boar down in southeastern Ohio. They are an invasive species.
Oh.
So they are around like Athens, Fenton, Meigs County, and they can cause a lot of damage on a property, especially for farmers, because they can uproot a lot of crops.
Oh, they dig up stuff. Okay. Yeah. Now, will they bite you?
Oh, yeah. They'll bite you.
Do they have the big teeth that you think?
Oh, like the tusks?
Yeah.
No, they don't have those tusks.
All right. Well, apparently there are a lot of wild boar.
And boar, coyote, and groundhogs, those are the three animals you can hunt year long.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah. What are the three again?
Coyote, groundhog, and boar. They have what's called a no-close season. So that means you can kill as many as you want. Now, groundhog, I think the only week it's closed is during deer gun season.
Okay. Well, and groundhog get killed by cars all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. All right. Your favorite discussion while we were off the air, hemlock.
Oh, yes. Poison hemlock.
Now, I didn't know what a hemlock looked like.
Yes.
Can you give kind of a brief description of what it looks like?
Yeah. So for poison hemlock, it's a very tall plant. I'm 6'5", and it can get over 7 feet tall.
And real thick
stalks, yeah. And it is a herbaceous plant, but boy, as thick as it gets, you think it's a small tree.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still herbaceous. But it has, if you think of Queen Anne's lace or wild carrot, you know, same plant, it has that similar kind of structure flower. It's white.
Yeah.
And for the stalk, it has these purple splotches on it.
Oh.
So that's another good way to recognize that plant.
Now, how do you get ill from something like that? Touching it or eating it?
So for poison hemlock, you have to ingest it somehow. Okay. So if you're you're weed whacking and you're cutting it down somehow, you know, when that going up in the air and you breathing that in.
Put a mask on.
Yeah, put a mask on. It can kill you.
You can get it from breathing in what you're knocking off.
Yeah, when you're knocking off, you're chopping off.
Oh, my.
And then if it gets on your eyes, it can cause temporary to permanent blindness.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, it's very dangerous. And they have done studies where on lab rats, which they have given it in a liquid form, and it died within 30 minutes to an hour.
Jeez.
And some people who got affected by, you know, by cutting it down and all, they got sick and there was no cure and the doctors couldn't do anything.
Well, now, isn't hemlock the poison that you hear in Rome?
Yeah. It originated in Europe, and then got it over here somehow.
Yeah, I wonder who found out about it. Anyway,
somebody had to be the guinea pig.
I was going
to
say somebody's wife might have been the guinea pig.
And then its counterpart, or its crime crime-fighting buddy is the wild parsnip.
That's what I was going to ask you next. Yes. Now, how do you identify a wild parsnip?
So wild parsnip, it really looks like Queen Anne's lace, but it's a yellow flower.
Okay.
And it only gets about 3 to 4 feet tall.
Yeah, it's not nearly as tall.
No. And it's not very thick like poison hemlock.
But it's not related, or it's, at least it's not like the parsnips that you buy in a store.
Yeah, yeah, it's it's sort of related, but it's completely different, yeah. Now, that poisonous plant, by touching it, you can get exposed by its chemicals. Especially when you're chopping it down, if that sap, if it gets on your skin, and then when it gets in heat, so such as the sun, it warms it up, it causes those blisters.
Oh, yeah. Well, jeez, weren't you telling me about when we were off the air about somebody that had huge blisters come from it?
Yes, yes. He said it felt very like painful. Felt like his arm was on fire.
Oh well, avoid that.
Yes,
that doesn't.
And I know you're probably going to ask, where can you find these poisonous plants? They love road ditches, roadways, for some odd reason, because they love where it can get wet and where it can be very warm and very sunny. Which road ditches? Our perfect habitat for it.
Also perfect habitat for marijuana.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that
so
too.
If you're going to look for the gunsha in the woods, be careful.
Yeah.
All right. Wild snake root. I've never heard of wild snake
root. Wild snake root. I believe, isn't that an orchid?
Well, it looks like that. I don't. That looks kind of like a...
Oh, foxglove. Oh, okay, yeah.
Kind of looks like spirea.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, it can be poison if you ingest it.
Oh, that's when you have to eat?
Yeah.
Now, I learned very young, probably 5 or 6 years old, don't eat plants you don't... Mom doesn't bring home from the grocery. I ate an iris once.
Oh, no.
And I had the worst heartburn for half a day.
Yeah.
It really hurt my chest. And
yeah, they're poisonous.
Yeah, I didn't know that, obviously, at 5 or 6 years old. And I thought it was very pretty. And it was in my mother's backyard. Boy, that was a Freudian slip if I ever had one. It was in my mother's backyard. And I just thought, well, I'll eat that. See, now, I did eat... Shoot, now I'm going to forget the name of it. We grew a plant, in a red and yellow petaled flower, and I can't remember the name of it that I was told to grow to help me get rid of some of the critters that I don't want in my garden.
Okay.
You can eat the entire thing. And the name will come to me, and I'll mention it to you. But there are lots of plants and flowers that you can eat.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But look it up first.
Yes. Definitely do your research.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Foxglove. Yeah. That's wild white snake root. Oh. Yes. Here's the wild snake root. It looks like that. I've never seen that.
Okay.
Have you seen that? I haven't seen that in our woods, but.
No. No. Not around here. No.
Okay. All right. But that's something you should avoid. It looks like. I don't know. It looks like a dandelion white. A white dandelion, kind of. All right. And the foxglove looks like the spirea. It's got a stalk on it. Now, that's poisonous, but you have to ingest it. It says deer can be... I suppose they could run you over or... have you ever heard of anybody being attacked by a male deer?
Yes, I have during the breeding season, during that rut.
Yeah.
Because during that season, that male's got one thing on his mind.
Yep.
And
not family friendly.
Yeah. And when you're trying to act like you're a male to attract the buck coming in, and he said, "No, this is my area. You don't belong here."
And I may have told this story, but I remember we were driving out to the Seattle World's Fair. That tells you how long ago this was. But I was about 14, I guess, and we were going out to the Seattle World's Fair. My dad had a little trailer that we took, and we stayed in all these national parks, which are if you haven't been to the national parks, you need to go to as many as you can. Yeah. But we stayed there, and on our way, there was this really pretty deer that was standing by the side of the road, and I convinced my dad to pull over so I could get a closer look.
Yeah.
And I got out of the car and started following her, and she didn't want to be around me. So she went up a hill. And so I followed her up the hill. I crested the hill, and there was a herd of at least 30 little female deer, not so little. And they had one big buck that gave me a look, and I was back down that hill in no time. But, you know, he kind of pawed and lowered his head.
I
thought, this is not good. I better get out of here. So they will attack you if they're in season or if they're with babies, I assume.
I mean, the doe would probably try to defend, you know, her young.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've covered all 17 of the worst critters to meet up with. You got any new things that you're going to do? Have you got any new stuff that you're going to do this fall?
As of right now, as long as everything's so good, our paleontology, our dinosaur event on September 25th. So I'll be making an announcement here soon. But again, things can always change with everything going on.
Now, there was a mastiff or?
A mastodon.
Mastodon.
Yes.
A mastiff, that's a dog.
I know what you mean, mammoth. Mammoth and mastodon.
Yeah, and they're different.
They are different.
Which one's the bigger one?
So mammoths were bigger, they were hairier, but they ate more, we had a mammoth, the mastodons were more common.
Okay.
So yes, so the mammoth discovery was 40-some years ago behind where the trailhead is.
Where are the, right by the, it looks like a...
By our building, yes.
Yeah, and it looks like there might have been a landfill there.
Yes, yes, that's what it...
Is that how it was found?
Yes, so as they were digging a hole to put the trash in before the landfill was established, they saw some bones sticking out, and OSU called, the city of Marion called OSU, and then OSU came out, and they said... Yeah, that's something all right. So the city of Marion said, all right, well, we're going to give you a day or so. And I know you're saying, well, that's not a lot of time. But you have to remember the 70s was a different era, it wasn't a lot of regulations or guidelines to those kinds of projects. So, you know, at the time, the city of Marion could have said, you know, we got a project to do. You know, we can't, you know, afford any delays. But they were very gracious to allow OSU to extract those remains within that day. And they found a femur. They found sections of a tusk, some neck vertebrae. I'm trying to think. I think that's what they found.
Had they been given longer time, do you think they could have been
uncovered
a whole one?
I would say, or at least they could have found more.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, now the rest is buried under hundreds and hundreds of feet of trash.
The other problem we're having, I'm sure we have Native American burial grounds that we... unfortunately don't know they're there and dig them up.
So. We have five Native American trails that cross through a Tallgrass Trail.
What were the? Do you know what the Native American tribes were that lived in this area? Or did I ask you a non-naturalist question?
I used to know that, but I'll have to definitely look it up and let you know next month.
Well, you don't have to do that. Lakota, I'm sure, were in this area because Lakota are all sorts of... They have several tribes in the Lakota Nation, I believe. I'm talking about things I have no idea what I'm talking about, so I'm going to get off of that one. All right, well, I see you have your program stuff out there.
Yes.
So tell us what's going to go on now.
So one thing I wanted to, before I get into the August programs, something I didn't mention last month because we squeezed it in after I was on the radio. On July 31st, so this coming Saturday, we are having what's called Mothapalooza at the trail. There's a local guy, his name's Bill Bender, and he loves moths. We call him the Marion's Moth Man. Uh-huh. And he will set up different bait sites and light sites there around the trailhead. And it's a really great program. So if you really want to see your moth diversity in Marion County, I highly recommend that.
What's the difference between a moth and a butterfly?
So moths, if you look at their antennae, they're not straight. They usually have, it looks like feathery.
Yeah.
Versus the butterfly, it's more linear. It's more straight looking like. Also, too, the moths look more fuzzier. Butterflies, not so much.
Okay, so the Mothman from down on the river.
Yes.
He had furry little things.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So
people up here don't know anything about
him. Oh, yes. Have you ever seen him?
Yeah, you and I do.
Parkersburg, West Virginia. Yeah, that's always fun. But yeah, if you want to learn about your moth diversity, I highly recommend it.
What is a moth trap.
Well, not much of a trap. So what he'll do for the light sights, he'll just use a regular sheet cloth, and he'll put a light beside it, because as you try see at nighttime, that the light attracts the moths. And then for the bait sights, he has two different kinds of baits. The one he's used in the past is he gets fruit and beer and ferments it. And they really like that.
I do, too.
And then the other thing, too, which this is going to be new, he will actually have these balls that are dipped in pheromones. And, again, he's never tried that before, so we're really excited to see what kind of moths we're going to get for that.
I've had aftershave lotion that was dipped in pheromones, and it never works.
So, I definitely want to mention about that. So, again, that's this coming Saturday, July 31st, from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. You don't have to stay the whole time. If you want to stay for an hour or two, I mean, that's totally up to you.
It's called a Mothapalooza.
Yeah, Mothapalooza. They used to have an actual big event down in Shawnee State Forest there in southeastern Ohio, and it was called Mothapalooza. They're not doing it anymore. So I kind of stole the name, and I thought, hey.
I like it.
Yeah, Mothapalooza at the trail.
All right, so, excellent.
All right.
So that's this Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday, July 31st, 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. I know it's late, but that's when moths are mostly active, or during the nighttime.
Now, are the little white butterflies?
Those are cabbage whites.
Are they butterflies
or
moths? Yes,
those are butterflies. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So. All right, so now we get into our August program. So August 5th, we're doing a Creaking for Critters program at the Teradice Nature Preserve. That'll start at 5 o'clock p.m.
Creaking for Critters?
Yes.
So you go down to a
Olentangy. Yeah, Olentangy River, and we just get nets and see what we catch.
Oh, cool.
Fish, mussels,
do
crawdads, all kinds of stuff.
Do you record it for anybody or just look at it?
Just look at it. So I have done water quality assessment programs, which, you had to record everything. Yeah. So, August 6th is our Kiddos at the Park Outdoor Preschool program from 10 to 11:30 a.m.
When are you planning to end that? Will you go back to school?
Yeah, August 13th, Okay. Then later on that day, we are partnering with News Force, with Zach Fuller, for the Summer Walk Series. That's at 6 o'clock p.m., and that'll be at Tallgrass Trail.
You might hear him on our station.
Yep.
That's our news.
Oh, yeah, that's right, in your weather.
Yeah.
And then we'll be doing Exploring the Night Hike at the Teradice Nature Center. So remember, the Teradice Nature Center is different from the Teradice Nature Preserve. I know it's very confusing.
It is.
That's the new facility. If you remember Trail of Romine, it's her house there on Whetstone River Road North. And that will start at 9:30 p.m. And please bring a red flashlight or a headlamp that's able to produce a red light.
Now, somebody mentioned to me, and I've read this on the air, and mentioned to people that they needed to have a red light. Now, I did have somebody ask, how do you find a red light lens? Well, you
buy. Well, two things. You can buy them at, like, Walmart, Menards, Lowe's, and those headlamps that turn into the red light. Uh-huh. But if you want to be cheap like me sometimes, you can just get a regular flashlight, and then if you go to the Dollar Tree, you get the red tablecloth and get some duct tape and a rubber band and wrap it around and get your redneck version.
I like it. I like the cheap thing. Now, I was told by one of our callers several weeks ago, well, you know how you can do that. You can go to a auto store and buy the red tape that fixes your taillights. So
I guess you could.
Yeah, and put that on there.
Yeah, that is a good point. You probably could do that. I haven't tried that. I'll try that. August 12th, we're just doing a simple nature walk at the Myers Woods Nature Preserve. That'll be
for anyone?
Yeah, for anyone.
Oh, cool.
So, and it's like I said, it's just a nature walk, so we'll just walk around and see what we find, critters, flora, fauna.
You're going to give us that, right?
Yes.
Because my wife and I may go to that.
Awesome. Yeah. So definitely bring bug repellent, water. So it's one of my favorite parks. It's very secluded, nice woodsy area. So
what do you use to repel mosquitoes?
I usually use Off.
Yeah. Okay.
So
it works pretty well.
It does. It does.
All right.
So again, that's at 6, and then August 13th is our last Kiddos at the Park Outdoor Preschool program. So again, that's the last one for the year, so definitely, again, make sure to register on our social media accounts. And then August 19th is our morning bird watching program at 8 o'clock in the morning. That will be at the Greensburg Nature Preserve, which is our one park right at the corner of State Route 4 and 203, if you remember where the old power plant used to be.
Okay.
Directly across from that, that was John Watkins. That was one of his properties. Now it's a park.
Yeah.
August 20th is the other News Force Summer Walk Series at 6 o'clock p.m. At Tallgrass Trail. Then August 26th, we'll be back with Glenn from 10 to noon.
What's the date there?
August 26th.
Okay, are there four or five Thursdays?
Yeah, you know, I haven't looked.
I'm going to look.
And then August 28th, we're going to be doing a insect collecting program at 10 o'clock in the morning at Tallgrass Trail. So I'll be having some nets, and we got some extra bug boxes that we need to fill up with some bugs, so for educational programs.
There are only four, so you will be on the 26th.
The 26th, yeah. And yes, and then we'll be advertising our schedule here in the next day or two on our social media accounts. And I know Glenn's very gracious, and he announces our
well,
programs.
Everybody here announces this.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
Scott does, too.
Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Now, we're down to the last 10 minutes.
All right.
And are there any critters out there right now that we need to really protect?
There's a whole bunch. I could go on and on.
Well, give us the top three or something like that.
Oh, the top
three.
Are there
things that we can protect? Now, I can't go out and protect bobcats. I don't know how to do that.
Well, luckily, bobcats in 2015,
are they okay?
They were taken off the state endangered species list.
Good.
So they're the poster child of they're doing good on their own.
Are there, critters, insects we can bring into our backyard that might...
I would say probably the most famous one is the monarch. Unfortunately, their numbers are just declining year after year. The summer habitat and then their winter habitats are being destroyed or manipulated by people, pesticides. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. And
fight that.
Fight that. So if you can, plant native. So, again, there are a lot of other native plant stores around Ohio. There are, I think there are two in Delaware.
Okay.
I can't remember their names. But then the other one would be Natives in Harmony outside of Marengo and Morrow County.
Are they attracted to milkweed?
So the female is attracted to the milkweed to lay her eggs.
Oh, okay.
And then
they don't eat it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The adults, they love any nectar-bearing flower. So milkweed, yes, is nectar-bearing, but I notice they don't hit it as hard as, like, ironweed or some of the saltus sunflowers or some of the other nectar-bearing plants.
Ironweed, I've never heard
of ironweed, yep. But, milkweed, unfortunately, a lot of people, especially farmers, don't like them because they consider them a pest because you can find them in fields, you can find them in road ditches.
And when they open up, they blow those things.
And those seeds, yes.
And they go everywhere.
Yeah. There are some people, local people here in Marion County that have been raising the caterpillars, kind of helping them against predators. And then raising them until they metamorphosize, until they're chrysalis, and then and then until their adult form, and then let them go.
I just saw one of my people that I follow all the time. She
is it Amy?
Yeah.
Amy, yeah. Amy
she
Holloway.
Her first chrysalis that she's got.
Yes, yeah. So she's one of my good friends. My wife and her actually used to work together at the Tomorrow Center. So
now, how can you
find them?
Yeah, where do you find them?
Well, you got to find them on the milkweed plant because that's his host plant.
Yeah, that's where.
Now the egg is super, super tiny. I mean, think of the tip of a pin.
Oh,
that's how small it is.
Small.
And they're white. They're like creamy white. But you really gotta look.
Right in.
Sometimes it's most of the time it's underneath the leaf, and sometimes it's in the middle of the flower. I find them in different spots, but there are other insects that do use the milkweed. There is the tussock moth, which a lot of people don't like them, but they are native. It's just the problem what they do is they lay a whole bunch on one plant. Versus the monarch, she'll lay one egg here and another egg on another plant.
Oh.
So she's very gracious. Versus the tussock moth, she'll lay like 10 over here and 10 over there. So then you got all these babies who are all trying to harvest the leaves, and then you'll notice these leaves are all gnawed down.
Yeah.
And of course, there's the large red milkweed bugs, which are native, and they, like the monarch, they will eat the leaves, so then they become somewhat poisonous to predators.
Oh, well, now, do the monarch, don't they go to South America or Central America?
So the ones you're going to see right now, this is going to be the third generation. Now, here the next month or two, that's going to be Gen 4. Fourth generation, and that is the generation that's going to head down south, and then they're going to live the longest, so they're going to stay down there for about a year. and then they'll be down in Mexico, and then in about usually April or so, then they'll start heading up north just a little bit above Texas, and then they'll lay their kids there, and then the Gen 1 starts and starts all over again.
So they lay eggs at different places.
Yes,
all the
it
way
takes
up
four.
Down.
Yeah, it takes four generations to complete the whole migration cycle.
Yeah. Wow. That's kind of interesting. Now, the monarch. When I was a kid, it seemed like there were a lot of.
They were everywhere. Yeah, yeah. And you hear that with people. Excuse me. People in your generation. Yeah, I've seen a lot more monarchs and other insects.
You said that with a snarl. Well, that was your generation. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. So. No, I envy you because, boy, you got to see a lot more. And unfortunately, you know, kids these days, I mean, luckily my son's able to see more, but if he has kids, I have no idea. Monarchs could be extinct by then.
That would be sad. But, okay, tell us, why should we care? I mean, it doesn't help me to have a monarch living in my yard.
That's
why
true.
Should we care?
Well, you know,
I know they're beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, mosquitoes are not beautiful, but we don't want to really eradicate all mosquitoes.
No, because they are important for the food chain.
Yeah, it's basically food chain stuff, right?
I mean, that's part of it. It's what's called ecological niche, or its job.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is if you start taking one species out of the equation and then take another species, then all the other species that are remaining, they're stressing out because it's kind of like in our current work situation, they're kind of either uplifting that workload, or it's not being filled, which then hurts the other flora and fauna.
Okay.
So it's like Rachel Carson. She was a wonderful ecologist here in the United States in the 60s, but she had a great connection. We're basically all connected.
But we've lost thousands of species
over the
years and centuries.
We have.
And we haven't fallen off the end of the earth yet.
No.
But I hear people saying, why should I care?
I hear that too.
Yeah. And I guess if you don't care, then I won't care that you don't care. I'm going to go ahead and care, right?
Yeah.
Now, and I've gotten an interesting situation with my new puppy dog. We decided to buy those little bags that are on a roll to get rid of leftovers. Cannot find any of them anywhere that say that they are biodegradable.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
There probably aren't any, because if you picked it up and it was biodegradable, it might biodegrade in your hand.
That's true.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's hard to do. But do as much as you can, I think.
Oh, yeah. Help your ecological footprint.
Yeah. You can cut down on carbon use easily. My wife and I have really cut back. We don't use as much energy as we used to.
That's good.
You know, our air conditioner is set at 80. If it hits 80, then we want to cool down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to find out more ways that we can help Mother Nature.
We could do a whole long program of all the different ways.
What would be the number one thing that you think you could do, that the average person could do to help Mother Nature?
Education. Like BC always said, the more you know.
Yeah, and that's why we have you on every month. To get our listeners to learn more about something.
I always say education is power. And then the next thing, what I always tell people, especially if you have kids or kids in your life, is get them involved.
Yeah, and that's what the kids...
Our kiddos program
does.
Because I always tell people, you know, we're trying our best to protect nature, but if we don't get kids involved, and like, I mean, you were just, you know, questioning, like, well, if we're trying and if they don't care, then in the future, I mean, eventually it would collapse.
Do you think we're losing parents that care?
Unfortunately, I think in a sense, I think we are.
Yeah, let's help each other. Let's explain to each other why it's important. It might be important one animal eats another animal, but it's also important for the beauty and the growth of ourselves,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's well put.
Well, sometimes I come up with a gem. No, Anyway, we're down to the last minute. You got anything that we got to know before I hang up here? And hopefully I won't lose you all like I did the last time.
No, that's okay. Just, again, enjoy your parks. Always make sure when you're out at our parks, you know, take your trash with you. You know, Glenn and I has just been mentioning, you know, how to be a good steward towards the environment. That's one good thing. Because, yes, I mean, yes, we have landfills, but when it's on the ground, out in nature, unfortunately, animals and flora and fauna, they can't cope with it, and then it ends up harming the environment.
Well, and landfills, if it's filled with plastic, even if the stuff inside the plastic disintegrates, that plastic may not. So
yeah,
use them less. We're trying to use, my wife and I are trying to use those plastic bags you get from the grocery store less and less.
Yes, that's why I try.
Recycle them, yeah. All right, well, we're down to our last half a minute, and we're going to have you back on the 26th.
Yep.
And we'll be talking more and more and more about all these critters. And I think it's going to change here, right? In August, late August, things start to change a little bit in nature, and we'll talk about that. And we appreciate you listening to us. This is Glenn Coble. The name of the show is On the Air. I'll be back in a few minutes with our swap shop. And I want to thank James Anderson, the Marion County
Park
Naturalist. Wanted to get that right for being on.
You're
Have a great day.
WWDH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.
Now, how is this all going to end up? How many games are we going to play in this series?
I want to say six games. We gonna take it in six.
Four to six. So what do you think will happen when the Indians go to Wrigley? Because you know that city also is waiting for a World Series.
Yes, they is, you know, but I believe in the city. I believe in the tribe. The president is taking 300 of the employees over to Wrigley Field, and I believe that we're going to have one or two wins coming out of there.
It is an amazing night here, and it's great time. And tonight, to win the opener, does that give them momentum, in your opinion?
Yes, I do. I believe it. I mean, they've been waiting for this all season. Cleveland Indians was counted out. They didn't believe in us, but we in Cleveland, and the time is now.
And here we are in Cleveland. It's probably 39 degrees. The winds are out of the northwest coming off the lake. The lake would be